way he wanted. He was at the gatherings, but he and I rarely spoke.
So, Charles? Or John?
Maybe.
And no clue about the last name?
Sorry, no.
Ozzy looked at Rin and tried desperately to telepathically communicate to him that he needed to put some sort of spell on Timsby that would help him remember. When the telepathy didn't work, he took another approach. He leaned over to Rin and whispered privately in his left ear.
Is there anything you can do to help him remember?
Rin looked puzzled for a moment before whispering back.
You mean like bribe him? I don't have any cash. No, not bribe him, a spell. I did know a spell once that would have been perfect for this, Rin whispered, but I can't remember it.
Mr. Lane cleared his throat. Rin and Ozzy stopped whispering and sat up straight.
When people whisper in the courtroom, it makes me nervous, he said.
Sorry, Ozzy apologized. I'm just making sure I've asked everything.
I'd say you've done a thorough job and then some. Now, I hate to break this up, but I've got a meeting to get to.
Mr. Lane stood up, which started a chain reaction of Ozzy and then Rin doing the same thing. Timsby came around his desk and shook their hands again.
Listen, Frizzle, if you decide to go into the law, look me up. I could use someone with your tenacity for going the extra mile.
No, thanks. I'm going to be something else.
Well, you're obviously too honest to be a lawyer anyway.
Ozzy and Rin left the office. Neither said anything to the other until they were back on the street.
That was interesting,
Rin said, adjusting his hat.
Frizzle?
Ozzy asked.
It was the name of my house elf in Corfelt. Still, and I wish you could have done some kind of memory spell. It's exciting that I have a half-uncle, but it might be hard to find him with the little amount of info we have.
There are no problems too big to conquer if you keep the goal in mind.
Really? What if your goal is to have a wizard use a memory spell on the one person who might possess a real clue?
Next time, you might want to not aim so high.
The wizard and apprentice returned to Rin's car, where Clark had been peacefully recharging himself and waiting.
So,
he said after they were in, how'd it go?
I have a half-uncle, Ozzy reported.
Interesting, Clark said. I have a full charge.
And my donut meter's on empty, Rin said. Who's paying?
Ozzy raised his hand.
How delightful. You wampans in your currency.
Rin started the car, and they pulled out into traffic. Chapter 33 Bothered. After stopping for donuts and then stopping for shakes, they stopped at Anne's. She tried to serve them a lunch that no one wanted to eat, so she packed up the food from the day before, the tofu eggs from breakfast that nobody finished, or began, really, and what looked like lasagna made of discarded salad, and gave them to her brother to take back home to Otter Rock. Ozzy was sad to say goodbye, but he was thrilled at the prospect of never eating her food again. The drive back to Otter Rock seemed longer than the drive up had been. Ozzy had a thousand things on his mind, and Clark kept interrupting by playing a game he made up called Beak Bug. The rules were simple. If you see a Volkswagen, you pinch someone with your beak. And since Ozzy and Rin were beakless, Clark pretty much ran away with the game. About 20 miles out of Otter Rock, Ozzy said, "We should strategize. You know, make a game plan about what to do next."
"Good idea," Rin said. "I'll drop you off at the train tracks, then I'm going to go to Bites. From there, I'll go home to get a good night's sleep. That cot Anne had me sleep on was the worst."
"I don't mean strategize about your evening plans. I mean about finding my parents."
Of course, I'm with you. I need a little time to think and ponder and work at home. I might have some powerful ideas for what's next."
"Like what?"
Rin laughed.
Ozzy, you have such a tricky sense of humor.
I'm not joking.
There it is again!
I am paying for all of this, remember? Ozzy said. He was frustrated, and the red creeping up his neck proved it. I mean, so far everything we've done was accomplished by car and computer, not magic.
Don't be so quick to dismiss ordinary things that might actually be magic. Do you think we walk around in Quarfelt just zapping things and casting spells? No, we pick up things that we've dropped. We walk to get the mail, and we shower standing up. There is magic in the force of gravity, magic in the mail system, and magic in the construction of pipes that provide water to stand under. When the time comes to use the kind of magic that books and movies fill people's heads with, you'll see it. And it will be that much more powerful because of the deft touch with which it was used.
Sometimes you sound smart, Clark said to Rin.
That's because I'm a wizard.
My point is that sometimes you don't, Clark added. Rin got a little pouty, Ozzy was already frustrated, and Clark was bored. So they traveled the remaining miles in silence. When they arrived at the train tracks, Ozzy got out of the car quickly.
Should we meet tomorrow?
Rin asked. How about you sleep on it, and if you get any answers, get in touch with me magically, and I'll respond.
You got it,
Rin said, completely missing the sarcasm. Ozzy closed the car door and watched Rin drive away. He stood by the side of the train tracks as he had all those days for school, but now he knew there would be no bus to pick him up and give him a slight chance to think about something else, or maybe see Siggy again. Clark situated himself on Ozzy's head. You can't blame him too much, Clark said. I mean, aren't wizards kind of known for being unstable? Some of them. I know what will cheer us up. Why don't we go back to the cloaked house and look at pictures of birds? Ozzy crossed the road and walked into the trees. Are we making any progress? He asked the bird. I think so. You're walking pretty fast. That's not what I mean. I mean, are we any closer to finding my parents? Maybe. And you're sure you don't remember anything else about my dad? He built you. I remember some stuff, but not specifics. A large fox dashed between the trees just in front of them. The shadows of leaves covered everything in cracks and fissures. Ozzy was down, but being in the forest he knew so well lifted his spirits. It's been so long since they were taken, Ozzy said. I can't speak to that. I was boxed up for a while, you know. Somewhere there has to be somebody or some clue to let me know what happened, doesn't there? I hope you find it, because this roller coaster of emotion is killing me. You're right, let's not think about any of this for a couple of days. I mean, if Rin's as good a wizard as he claims to be, he can solve the case and then find us. I don't want to think about it anymore. In fact, let's go to the ocean tomorrow.
Yes!
Clark chirped. You can build a real sandcastle, not like the one I tried to make. And maybe Siggy will be there.
Now I'm pumped, Clark said. The sand between my talons is just what I need.
The dimming of day made Ozzy sleepy and Clark a bit lethargic. Ozzy lowered his head and Clark hopped from his hair to his shoulder. As Ozzy was looking down, he noticed something he had never seen before.
What's that?
Ozzy stopped. He fell to his knees to better examine the ground. Clark jumped from his shoulder and did some investigating of his own. It's a dirt bike track, Ozzy said. Someone was riding a motorcycle around here.
Look, Clark said. There's another.
To the right, Ozzy saw a second tire track.
And another, Clark announced. I don't understand. Where would any motorcycles be going out here? There's nothing but our...
The small bird squawked loudly as Ozzy jumped up off his knees and ran in the direction of his hidden home. Clark sprang forward and shot through the trees like a dart. Jumping over moss and leaves, he quickly ran to the cloaked house. From 20 feet away, he knew something bad had happened. From 10 feet away, he knew it was worse than he thought. There were deep motorcycle tracks crisscrossing the dark soil in front of the house. The door had been kicked in and was hanging from the frame by a single hinge. Clark frantically flitted around the open door like an anxious hummingbird.
"Do you think anyone's still here?"
he twirped.
"I'm not sure," Ozzy said. "The motorcycles aren't here. You fly in first."
Clark flew through the open door. 10 seconds later, he was back out.
"I don't see anyone, but it's not pretty in there."
Ozzy stepped intrepidly through the front door. The cloaked house had been discovered and abused. All at once, two things were clear. One, Ozzy's life was never going to be the simple existence it had been. And two, the beach tomorrow was out.
Chapter 34. Took Everything I Have. Whoever had broken into Ozzy's home had done so with little regard for what was inside. Boxes were tipped and torn. The couch and a couple of chairs had muddy footprints on them from someone using them as step stools to reach higher and destroy more. All of the cassette tapes were on the floor, smashed and unspooled. Two of the kitchen cabinet doors had been ripped off, and it looked like what few dishes Ozzy had were shattered on the floor. The map he had carefully drawn with Clark's help was destroyed. The basement was just as bad. Tools were missing and boxes had been smashed.
"Who would do this?"
Clark asked, sounding as mournful as a metallic raven could.
"I don't understand. What does this accomplish?"
They went upstairs to his attic room. His mattress had been flipped over and the tape recorder and tablet were gone. Clark squawked again, an unearthly and sad noise Ozzy had never heard him make before. Ozzy sat down on his overturned mattress and put his head in his hands. He could do without the tablet. It was the tapes and recorder that hurt the most.
"I'm so sorry," Clark tweeted softly. "Maybe whoever did this is still out there. We could track them down."
Ozzy looked up. His gray eyes were filled with static.
"Whoever it was is gone now."
Ozzy was angry. "We didn't hear any motors as we hiked in. It probably happened when we were in Portland last night."
"Me and my need to get away," Clark lamented. "Who could have done this?"
Ozzy was smart. According to the calendar, he was 14, but if you factored in the experiences he'd had, he was advanced in age. He knew in his soul that whatever had happened to the cloaked house was somehow tied to him trying to find his parents.
"We need Rin," Ozzy admitted. "Do you think you can find him?"
Clark looked around.
"As long as they didn't take my book light."
The bird flew down the stairs and was back up in a minute with the book light in his talons. He dropped it in Ozzy's hands.
"Where was this?"
"I may or may not have hidden it in the basement rafter. I guess I'm overly possessive. Flip it on." Ozzy turned it on, and a strong, small light shone out.
"Perfect. Clip it to me, and I'll go."
Ozzy clipped the light to Clark's rear and bent the small light to shine directly at the silver strip on his back.
"You know where he is?"
"He said he'd be at Bites, probably picking out on that oinking egg thing." Clark jumped to the windowsill and looked out at the now dark sky.
"Be careful," Ozzy said. "And if you have to stop for the night, make sure it's somewhere the rising sun will still hit you."
"I will."
"And don't mess with the trash can."
Clark looked at Ozzy and blinked his small eyes.
I'm a little insulted you even said that.
Fine, I'm sorry. But still don't. Just find Rin. Tell him what happened and get back here. If he gives you any grief, tell him I'm paying for his time.
Clark saluted with his right wing and jumped out the round window. Ozzy watched the speck of light fly off and then come right back.
What?
Ozzy asked urgently. Did that look cool?
What?
That salute and then me just flying off. Ozzy was frustrated.
It was okay. Go!
Clark took to the sky, and this time Ozzy watched the light fly off into the distance and not come back.
Well, I'm not sleeping in here, he said to himself.
Ozzy collected some blankets and found his sleeping bag and pillow. He took them outside and went behind the house to the stream. He crossed a flat board that functioned as a bridge and made a place to sleep next to the black rock wall. His breathing was heavy and his heart was in shock. He wanted daylight to hurry so that he could better assess what had been damaged and taken. His brain played through every possible scenario of who might have done this horrible deed. He had a few ideas, but he couldn't shake the thought that on the day he discovered he had a half-uncle, his house had been ransacked.
There has to be a connection, he whispered to himself. Timsby must have known more than he admitted.
Ozzy had read enough books to know that lawyers were often seedy.
I shouldn't have trusted him.
The air was cool, and every noise he heard caused Ozzy to get up and investigate. Once it was a fox looking for food in the dark. Once it was a squirrel running through the stream. And another time it was a fat owl who perched in a bent tree directly above the black wall. It hooted and fidgeted until Ozzy finally climbed up the tree and scared it off. Ozzy got back into his sleeping bag. He scanned the sky, hoping that any moment a small pinpoint of light would return. Chapter 35. Shattered Magic. Rin sat in a booth at Bites eating pancakes and sausage. The place was filled with locals and tourists eating and drinking the kind of drinks that made people talk loud and get rowdy. As he took a huge bite of pancake, someone walked up to the table.
Hello, Brian.
Rin looked up to see Sheriff Wills, a tall man with a thin mustache wearing a green uniform that was two sizes too small.
It's Rin. And have a seat.
The wizard motioned to the empty booth bench across the table.
Please. Conversation is so much better at eye level.
The sheriff sat down and the buttons on his shirt screamed.
I thought you'd be here. Do you mind if I ask you a couple more questions?
Not at all,
Rin said with a full mouth.
Tell me again where you met that boy.
He called about my ad in the ORVG. We met here.
What did he want?
He was having trouble with homework. His parents were giving him grief, and he wanted to know if I could help with the research.
Is that how wizards spend their time?
Wizards help wherever they can.
Someone said you went to Portland last night.
That's true.
Why?
Anne lives there. You know that. And my mom. But I didn't stop in to see Mom, so I'd appreciate it if you didn't tell her I was there.
Just went to see Anne?
A wizard doesn't just do anything. Every journey we take has a purpose, and... Man, these pancakes are good. You want to try one?
No, thanks. I'm not a breakfast person, especially at night.
I'm not surprised.
Listen, Rin, I don't want to give you any grief. I'm just worried that you're getting yourself in trouble. Maybe you're a little unstable at the moment.
That's a compliment, Inkorfelt.
See, that's what I mean. Are you still claiming that you don't know where this Ozzy Toffee boy lives?
I don't. I've never been to or seen his house. Where does he live?
We don't know.
Has there been some kind of trouble?
Not necessarily. He was going to school for the last couple of weeks and Now he's not.
Certainly the school has more information about him than I do.
Not a thing.
Maybe you should be investigating that. How does a young man go to school without anyone knowing a thing about him?
I just placed an ad in the ORVG like I always do, and he answered. We met here, and I drove him to Doyle's place. And since you and Doyle are friends, I'm sure you know what happened there.
Yeah, you're asking about a couple who moved in years ago.
Well, the boy was asking. He was researching a paper for school.
A school he no longer goes to.
That does seem weird. How's this? I'll give you a wizard's promise. If I see him again, I'll do everything within my legal power to get him to come talk to you.
Fair enough.
I'd prefer you say more than fair. That way the glass is at least half full.
Sheriff Wills stood up and shook his head.
You used to be so normal, Brian. I mean, Labyrinth.
Now the whole town laughs at you.
I can't help it if people don't understand. It's not my worry to make life a place where there's no opportunity for others to grow and be challenged.
You know, that toffee boy also showed up at the police station a while back. He met with Officer Gregg. Said he was looking for his aunt and uncle, but took off as soon as we started to question him.
I don't know anything about that, Rin insisted.
I believe you were at the station at that time.
Oh, that's right, Rin said. I was reporting those kids at Walmart.
So it was just a coincidence that you pulled into the police station as the boy ran off?
An interesting detail and nothing else.
You know, any normal person would want to help us.
So would a normal wizard. But this is your journey, not mine.
Weird, Brian. Just weird. Maybe I should take you down to the station and keep you there for a while. I think that might...
At that moment, the front door to Bites opened and a woman screamed. Sheriff Wills spun around to see what was happening. A black bird had zipped in from outside and was shooting up into the rafters. More women screamed, and a few men. The bird dived down and through the bar area, avoiding a waiter who was trying to swat it with a rag and a woman who attempted to hit it with her purse. The bird swooped back up and shot right through one of the hanging light bulbs. The bulb popped and shattered. Now, more men than women were screaming. Sheriff Wills ran from Rin's booth and tried to act as if he knew what to do.
Everybody stay calm! It's just a bird!
Clark aimed at another naked bulb and shot through it. The bulb made a louder popping noise than the last one. He swooped over Rin and winked. The bird hit another bulb and then another. As the light bulbs exploded, the restaurant began to grow darker.
Shoot it!
Someone yelled.
No shooting!
Sheriff Wills yelled.
Everyone calm!
Clark took out four more bulbs, one after the other.
Pop, 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 pop!
The vast majority of the restaurant's patrons were running for the door. Rin continued to eat his pancakes as fast as he could, shoveling the food into his mouth and covering the plate so no broken glass got in his food.
Pop, pop, pop!
Sheriff Wills ducked under a table directly to Rin's right.
Some wizard you are! Why don't you do something? Pop, 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 pop.
Rin looked at Clark as he swooped overhead. He pushed back his plate, slid out of the booth, and stood up. Then, while looking upward, he shouted,
Fandel Cease Perdabra!
The wizard clapped loudly as he recited the spell. Clark dropped from the sky and Rin caught him. Sheriff Wills saw the whole thing and couldn't keep his jaw from dropping. Carrying the bird, Rin ran from the restaurant, everyone looking on in awe. Two customers opened the doors and Rin moved out of the restaurant to where the rest of the patrons were gathered. Once outside and with a crowd of onlookers looking on, he opened his hands and held the bird up.
Rindus Mindus Move!
Clark lifted out of his hands and took off into the dark sky. Rin just stood there looking like an important statue. To say that everyone was impressed was an understatement of epic proportions. It was only a wild bird that had broken a bunch of lights, but the gathering clapped as if Rin had stopped the apocalypse. Rin put his hands on his hips.
"Don't clap for me. Clap for the fact that tonight has been more textured and unusual than expected. If there is one thing that I have learned, it's that the expectations of men are often..."
The crowd of people had been impressed, but they weren't in the mood for a speech. They began to disperse. Rin stopped talking and tried to go back inside to pay his bill, but the owner told everyone to leave until they could get things cleaned up. He also informed them that their food was on the house.
"Well, then, my work here is done," Rin declared.
Rin walked off into the dark and disappeared into the trees at the edge of the parking lot for effect. As soon as the coast was clear, he circled back and snuck to his car. He crouched at the door and opened it. Clark peeked out from under the car, holding his book light in his left talon.
"Get in,"
Rin whispered. The bird hopped into the car and up onto the dashboard. Rin pulled out of the parking lot without anyone noticing it was him. Once they were on the road, Rin looked over at Clark.
"That was remarkable,"
he said, not trying to hide his exuberance in the least.
"They were eating it up."
"You're welcome," Clark said.
"It couldn't have been better if we planned it."
"Probably not."
"Still, we should plan something else like that sometime."
"I'm up for it."
"Just incredible. That'll show Wills. Sometimes it takes the innocence of a bird to let the people see the wisdom of a wizard. I had a feeling tonight would go over well. The clouds were very expressive today."
Rin laughed and then inhaled, followed by a "Whoo!"
"Why are you back in town anyway?"
Rin asked.
"Visiting that trash can?"
"That's right, I have news," Clark said, slapping his small forehead with the tip of his left wing. "The cloaked house. It was ransacked."
"What?"
"When we got there this evening, there were motorcycle tracks leading up to it, and everything inside was torn apart. The worst part is that some things were taken."
"Where's Ozzy?"
"He's fine, but he's back at the house. He wanted me to get you." Rin did a sharp U-turn as Clark held onto the dash with his talons. The car shot down Main Street in the direction of Mule Pole Highway. Rin pressed on the gas and the car sped up.
"Do you know who did it?"
Rin hollered.
"No." "This is exactly the kind of thing we wizards hate."
The small car raced down the long road, away from town and toward the cloaked house. Chapter 36. The Difference in Dairy. Ozzy rolled over in his sleeping bag and felt something poking at his nose. Irritating. He brushed it away, but the poking intensified.
"Wake up," Clark chirped. "I'm back, and I brought the wizard."
Ozzy sat up and tried to get his bearings. He saw his bird standing near the stream, the book light clipped to his tail and shining in his eyes.
"You brought Rin?"
Ozzy said groggily.
"Where is he?"
"He was a little behind me. I couldn't find you inside, so I did a quick fly around. You've always liked this spot." Ozzy climbed out of the sleeping bag and stood up. The bird and boy walked to the front of the small house. Even in the dark, they could see Rin's faded off-white robe, hovering closer like a shabby ghost. Ozzy let out a sigh of relief at the sigh of a wizard.
"Oz,"
Rin said, sounding like every kind wizard should.
"What is this ordeal you've been subjected to?"
"Sorry to drag you into this, but I didn't know who else to get a hold of."
Rin put a hand on Ozzy's shoulder.
"Don't be sorry.
be amazed.
About what?
Well, when we last parted, you said that if I was a true wizard, I would find a way here. Well, here I am, right where I'm needed.
Thanks for making the hike.
You're an interesting and important human. It is my honor.
It was dark, but Rin's voice was so sincere that there was no need to witness a corresponding expression to confirm it.
It's dark out here, the wizard said, stepping back from Ozzy. But even in the black, your home looks fantastical. I should have brought a flashlight with me.
I have candles, but I don't want to light up our location right now, in case someone comes back. I thought I'd sleep outside until I can go in tomorrow and really take inventory of what's been damaged.
Smart. So the forest shall be our cover and our bed. Now, do you have an outdoor hammock or a padded lounge chair?
No, but I have some blankets and soft dirt.
Let me consult the stars.
Rin looked up and sniffed three times.
Yes, the blankets will do.
Things felt considerably lighter with Rin there. The empty and uncertainty was less palpable. The wizard, human, and bird all moved behind the house and crossed the tiny stream over the flat board. Once they were each settled in their own spots, the clouds above broke up and drifted off. In their absence, there were stars as bright as any that had ever hung overhead. The billion points of light pulsated and blinked in a hypnotic fashion.
Not that you don't have your own news here, Rin said, but you would have liked the scene down at Bites. That bird is remarkable.
Ozzy looked over to where Clark had settled. The book light was off, and he was out.
What happened?
Well, in coming to fetch me, Clark gave the entire restaurant a show.
Rin told Ozzy everything. He filled him in on Sheriff Wills, acted out some of the customer screaming, and ended with the part where he didn't have to pay for his meal.
So it was good for your rep?
It was, Rin said.
Any feelings or premonitions about who might have done this?
Someone with a dirt bike, Rin guessed. Clark said there were tracks.
Yeah, you'll see them when it's light. But what about any wizardly feelings?
I guess I am a little nostalgic for my family. Seeing my sister always make me miss the good old days.
It wasn't what Ozzy was looking for, but he didn't push it any further. After a few solid moments of silence, Rin spoke.
Oh, were you asking about my wizard feelings regarding who did this?
Yeah.
Sure, I've got tons of those. Of course, you can't literally weigh feelings here in reality, so a ton is just an estimate. Interestingly enough, feelings actually weigh something in Corfelt. It's necessary because of the need to exchange and use them for spells.
Really?
Wizards don't lie, remember?
Rin paused.
That's not completely true. There are times when a lie is not the worst option. Have you ever reasoned with a dragon, using only the truth? Not a good idea.
There are dragons in Corfelt?
Yes, Rin said. How else would people travel across the sea? Flying cars? Remember, J.K. Rowling took a lot of liberties. You see, Corfelt is very different than reality. To begin with, it's older than any place you can imagine. There are ruins and buildings there that are hundreds of thousands of years old, and the wizards who live in and amongst them are like me in many ways. They have spent time in reality, but fortune favors them with the ability to stay there as long as they please. I tell you, there is no place like the mountains of Corfelt in summer. Did you know that...
Rin kept on talking. Ozzy would have stopped him, but the sound of his voice in the dark forest air and his tales of Corfelt were intoxicating. Everything the wizard said sounded far-fetched and magical, but he was saying it with such sincerity and pride that it was hard not to believe every word. About the time Rin started listing facts about the differences in reality's dairy products and the ones in Quarfelt, Ozzy drifted off. Chapter 37. Try not to think about it. In the daylight, things looked even worse. The cloaked house had been thoroughly ransacked. The few things of value were gone, and there was more mess than Ozzy wanted to clean. After going through the house with Rin, he sat down on the steps and tried his hardest not to let the weight of what had happened bring him down. Clark rested on his head, and Rin took a seat next to him.
"I know things look bad," Rin said, "but I just happen to have a trick for clearing up the grim feelings."
"Really?" Ozzy asked skeptically. Rin pushed back the sleeves of his robe and shook his hands dramatically. Both Ozzy and Clark watched in anticipation as the great wizard prepared to say and do something magical.
"The trick is teamwork. Ozzy, you start collecting the torn boxes in the living room, and I'll work on cleaning the footprints off the couch. Clark, you can pick up little broken pieces and take them outside. We'll work one room at a time and then have this place put back together lickety-split."
"That's it?" Clark asked. "That's the trick?"
"Nifty, right?"
Rin stood up and went back into the house to find a bucket and brush to clean the couch.
"Come on!"
he shouted over his shoulder.
"Working will make us all feel considerably better."
Ozzy stayed on the porch with Clark on his head. "As far as wizard tricks go, I have to say the teamwork one is probably the lamest," the bird said.
"Yeah, disappointing for sure."
Ozzy stood up.
"Wait a second," Clark said. "Is he singing?"
The sound of Rin singing a song about cleaning drifted out the broken front door.
"That's going to get annoying," Clark squawked.
Rin got the couch clean in no time. Then he tackled the basement while Ozzy tried to find boxes that were still in good shape and filled them with things broken beyond repair. In the daytime, it was much easier to see how destructive the vandals had been. They'd turned over and searched through everything. Even some of the boxes that were filled with nothing but old papers and books had been tipped over and rifled through. In the basement, Rin discovered that the little bit of remaining dry food was still there, as well as one case of canned carrots.
"You want to keep these carrots?"
Rin yelled up the stairs.
"Of course,"
Ozzy yelled back.
"They expired 5 years ago! Keep 'em!"
Clark hopped around, picking up pieces of broken plates and any other crumbs of trash and debris. He put everything he found in a half-crushed box that Ozzy dragged out onto the porch for him. By noon, they'd gotten most of the first floor and the basement in order. There was a large pile of ruined boxes and unsalvageable paper in the front yard on top of the weedy lawn.
"We should eat something," Rin said as he came up from the basement.
His robe, hands, and face had dirt all over them. He walked to the kitchen sink and began to wash up.
"There's not much to eat," Ozzy said. "The bread and groceries I had were destroyed. But we have some basement food."
"I'm hungry," Rin admitted, "but not 5-year-old expired carrots hungry. Do you have any eggs?"
"No."
"You should get a chicken. Endless eggs."
"A chicken would be a nice addition," Clark said. "I'd love to have someone living here who really gets me."
"How about you run to my car and drive somewhere to pick up something?" Rin suggested.
"Really?"
Ozzy said. The prospect of driving excited him. "I don't have a license."
"Ah."
Rin executed a Frenchman's wave.
"You're capable. Just don't damage it."
"I've never driven a car."
"It's much easier than a broom. Trust me."
Um, You both know how I hate to be the voice of reason, Clark said. Hate it. But did you forget that people are looking for Ozzy? Your car kind of stands out.
That's true, Rin agreed. So? Instead, take Mule Pole back the other direction towards Bell's Ferry. There's that gas station and food mart where you can get us something to eat. I personally wouldn't mind a couple fruit pies. Oh, and some more zebra cakes!
Ozzy thought about it. He had always wanted to drive a car, and he could run the 2 miles to the highway, drive to Bell's Ferry, and be back before too terribly long. Plus, the lure of the zebra cake was strong. Rin sensed his wavering and said,
Also, I'll keep cleaning while you're gone. That way, when you come back, it will be like a fun surprise to see how much progress I've made.
That does sound fun, Clark said. Okay, I'll do it, Ozzy said. But I need to know how to drive.
Rin put his hand on the boy's shoulder.
Sometimes the experience is the lesson. Just put your seatbelt on first.
That's wise and not at all helpful. So could you at least tell me what to do with my feet?
Yes, Rin said. The right pedal makes you go. Wait, you do know right and left?
I learned that when I was 4, Ozzy said, insulted.
Sorry. You grew up in the woods, so I wasn't sure. The right pedal makes you go, and the left pedal makes you stop. Take these.
Rin reached into his robe pocket and pulled out a key ring. He handed them to Ozzy.
Put your right foot on the left pedal and push it in. Put this key in the ignition slot and turn it to the right. That'll turn it on. Then move the stick thing into drive. Once that's done, you're good to go. Oh, if you need to go backwards for some reason, press the brake and put the stick thing into reverse. That's it.
Ozzy had watched Rin drive a number of times, and he felt certain he could mimic what he'd seen.
Now you two go.
Ready, Clark? Ozzy asked. I think so.
The bird and boy took off out of the cloaked house, with Rin yelling after them.
Zebra cakes!
Chapter 38. Some shirts are hard not to notice. Ozzy started the little white car with no problem. Clark looked impressed.
Not bad. Thank you. Now for the stick thing.
Ozzy put the car into drive, and the vehicle whirred lightly.
This is happening!
Clark jumped up onto the dash and dug in his copper-tipped talons. The highway was clear as usual, so Ozzy took his foot off the brake and pressed on the gas. The car lurched forward and onto the road. Keeping his foot down, they were soon moving at 55 miles an hour in the direction of Bell's Ferry. Ozzy looked at Clark.
This really isn't that hard.
Yeah, it looks easy, Clark said. If I had arms and long legs and a body that was capable of sitting down, I'd be all over it.
To Ozzy, driving felt like another milestone in his life. Another open door that he'd stepped through.
Wait, he said, what about the seatbelt?
Clark made a panicked squawk. A sense of panic filled the car as Ozzy tried to steer and reach for his seatbelt at the same time.
I can't reach it! Watch the road! Here, let me help.
Clark hopped down from the dash and bit down on the metal clip of the seatbelt. He clawed and pulled his way onto Ozzy's lap.
Ow! Watch it!
Clark let go of the seatbelt and it snapped back. Ozzy tried to grab it, but as he did, he turned the steering wheel with his other hand and the car swerved into the opposite lane.
We're veering off course!
Clark yelled. Ozzy overcorrected and the car jerked the other way onto the shoulder of the road.
Hit the stop pedal!
Clark screamed. Ozzy slammed down his foot and accidentally hit the gas instead of the brake. The car bounced off the side of the road and between the trees. The sound of branches scraping the side of the car were as bad as fingernails on a chalkboard. Ozzy turned into an overgrown meadow and then turned again to avoid a large boulder.
The third turn got them heading back towards the highway. The car hit the upward sloping shoulder of the road and bounced back onto the asphalt. Ozzy located the brake with his foot and slammed it down. The small car came to a screeching stop in the middle of the highway, with nothing but the trees and sky to witness what had just happened. "So that's what happens when you don't buckle up," Clark said. The mechanical bird was shaking like a nervous soda. "That was the worst."
"Car!"
Clark interrupted. Up ahead, a semi-truck barreled around the curve of the highway. Ozzy put the car in reverse to back out of the lane.
"Wait!"
Clark screamed.
"Seatbelt!"
Ozzy nervously grabbed for his seatbelt. The semi blew its horn. It was getting closer by the second.
"Hurry! What do you think I'm doing?"
The seatbelt wouldn't click in the first time, or the second time, or the third. But on the fourth try, it clicked. Ozzy pressed on the gas and the car almost went off the road in reverse. He slammed on the brakes and the vehicle stopped on the shoulder, the nose of the car sticking out into the lane. The truck blew past them, its horn blaring, creating a wind that caused the small car to shake almost as much as its occupants. Once the truck was down the road, Ozzy exhaled.
"That was really close."
"I know, and I only have one battery life. I saw myself becoming part of this mangled car." Ozzy put the car into drive and pulled out onto the road.
"You're still going to Bell's Ferry?"
"I'm still hungry." The rest of the drive to Bell's Ferry was much less eventful. When they got to the gas station, Ozzy parked far away from the building so that he wouldn't hit anything. Getting out of the car, they could see that the outside of the vehicle was scratched and dinged.
"Shoot,"
Ozzy said. "Do you think Rin will be angry?"
"Not if you tell him the scratches came during an epic wizard battle."
Clark flew into Ozzy's hoodie pocket and positioned himself so he could see out the right side. They went into the gas station food mart. Inside, the shelves were filled with all types of cookies and chips and bright bags. There were two entire rows of candy and one that had only nuts and jerky. A woman and a small child were getting sodas at the soda fountain, and a clerk was ringing up a bald man who was buying motor oil, circus peanuts, and a burrito. Ozzy made a beeline for the zebra cakes. He grabbed four packs and a couple of granola bars. He got two large Sprites and a bag of cheese-flavored chips. The clerk barely looked at him as he rang him up. Transaction completed, he put the items into two bags and handed them over.
"Thanks," Ozzy said.
"No problem,"
the clerk replied. Ozzy turned and walked to the front door. He stopped suddenly. Through the glass, he could see the man he and Rin had talked to 2 days ago in his trailer.
"Ed,"
Ozzy whispered anxiously.
"What?"
Clark whispered back. It wasn't terribly surprising to see Ed there. After all, he lived just down the street from the gas station. The really surprising thing was that Ed had pulled up to the gas station on a dirt bike, and he was wearing one of Ozzy's dad's old shirts. The question as to who had beat up the cloaked house was no longer a mystery. Chapter 39 Cracking the Window. Ozzy backed up and moved behind the row of candy bars as quickly as he could. He hid behind a shelf of mints while keeping an eye on the front door. Ed walked in like he owned the place.
"Mick,"
he said to the clerk.
"How are things?"
"Fine. You?"
"Just thirsty. What's Powerball up to?"
"Over 200 million,
Mick replied. Ozzy looked to his left and realized that if Ed was going for a drink, there was a good chance he'd walk right past him. So he scooted down the row and crouched behind a beef jerky display. Ed sauntered towards the refrigerators and didn't notice Ozzy. He opened one of the glass doors and pulled out a couple of large 2 liters of Coke. The lady with the small child had finished getting their sodas
and wanted something else near Ozzy.
"Excuse me," the woman said. "I need some of that."
Ozzy moved over so she could grab a fistful of Slim Jims.
"Are you okay?"
the woman asked. "It looks like you're trying to hide from someone." Ed turned around. He and Ozzy made eye contact, and for a moment, neither knew what to do. Ed moved first. He stepped away from the coolers and approached Ozzy.
"That you?"
he asked, sounding almost friendly. Ozzy stood up. Ed didn't know he lived at the cloaked house, and there was a chance he had no idea how connected Ozzy was to the place he had torn apart.
"You okay?"
Ed asked.
"Yeah, sure,"
Ozzy said, trying as hard as he could to sound casual.
"Just getting some snacks. How have you been?"
"Fine, fine. So did Brian, I mean, the wizard, help you out?"
"He did."
"I don't think you mentioned that you lived out this way."
"Yep, just up the street."
"Huh. What street?"
"Forest Drive," Ozzy lied.
"Forest Drive? Don't know it. But the number of things I don't know's too long to talk about here. Well, have a nice day, kid."
Ozzy took his bags and exited the food mart as fast as he could.
"What's happening?"
Clark asked from the pocket.
"Hold on a sec."
Ozzy quickly climbed into the car. He pulled out of the parking lot and back onto the highway. Clark shimmied out of Ozzy's pocket and hopped onto the dashboard.
"What was that about?"
Ozzy looked three times in the rearview mirror to make sure nobody was following them.
"That was that Ed guy."
"I saw that.
He was wearing one of my father's old shirts."
"So, he did know your dad?" Ozzy was shaking.
"No, he was the one who messed up our home. He was even riding a dirt bike, which means he's the one who smashed the tapes and stole my things."
"Why didn't you punch him?"
"Really? I can't even call the police."
Clark was hopping mad.
"I can't believe this!"
"What do we do?"
Ozzy said angrily.
"I know. We'll tell Rin. He'll know what we should do."
"I think I need some air," the bird said. "Could you crack a window?"
Ozzy felt for the button on his door and then rolled down the passenger side window about 4 inches.
"Thanks," Clark said. "Oh, and I'll be right back."
"What?"
"I'm the twerp of reason, and it's payback time."
Clark shot out the gap and into the great outdoors.
"Clark!"
There was nothing to do. The bird was gone. Ozzy kept driving. He had no idea where Clark had gone or what he meant. Rin needed to know about Ed, so Ozzy pressed on the gas and flew down the highway. Chapter 40. Best Served Cold. Ed said goodbye to Mick and exited the Bell's Ferry Food Mart. He hooked the plastic bags holding his Cokes onto the back of the dirt bike and threw his right leg up and over the seat. Ed was a bit unsettled. He was at the food mart at least once a day, and he'd never run into Ozzy before. He wasn't a smart man, but even he found it coincidental that 2 days after he had raided that hidden cabin in the forest, the very kid who had reminded him it was there showed up again.
"Whatever,"
he said. He pressed a button, and the dirt bike noisily came to life. Something small and black passed between him and the sun, creating a tiny, brief shadow. Ed looked up, but nothing was there. Rin and Ozzy coming to visit him had been a nice surprise. Ed was always in need of money, and the memory of the small cabin and the thought that it might be abandoned had been too strong for him to ignore. So he'd taken his dirt bike into the forest to find the house. It had been a long time, but he'd made so many trips carrying boxes years ago that it wasn't too hard to find again. Once he was sure no one was there, he went through the house box by box,
looking for any kind of valuables. He didn't find a lot. Some tools, picture frames, a couple of chairs, a cassette player, and a tablet. There was enough for him to have to make 4 trips back and forth to his house. He was hoping he could sell the hall to one of his less upstanding friends for a bit of cash. As he drove home from the food mart on his dirt bike, he smiled at his good fortune. The smile didn't last long. Something hit Ed in the back of the head, causing a good deal of pain and making his sunglasses fly off of his head. Ed swore. He slowed and stopped the bike on the side of the road and got off to see if he could find his glasses. He felt the back of his head. When he brought his fingers back to his face, there was blood on them.
What the?
Something slammed into the right side of his face. Ed spun around twice before regaining his footing. He crouched down a few inches, scanning the sky to see what it was. Walking slowly, his head on a swivel, he moved back up the road to where his sunglasses had flown off. He saw the shades lying on the side of the road in the grass. As he bent down to pick them up, something whizzed past his left ear. He heard it whisper, "Ed." He stood up quickly and saw something fly into the nearby trees. "Ed." Twisting around, he kinked his neck and still saw nothing.
"What is happening?"
he cried, frustrated. Cautiously, he walked back to the motorcycle and got on. He glanced around and started the bike back up. 3 seconds down the road, something hit him from behind again. He considered stopping, but now he just wanted to get home and get indoors. Something slammed into and stung his lower back. It took everything he could do to keep the bike under control. Ed pushed on the gas and went faster. Clark dived in and smacked him on his back again.
"Go away!"
Ed yelled.
"Whatever you are, leave me alone!"
Clark didn't like being called a whatever. He shot down and with the point of his gold beak pierced one of the big bottles of Coke hanging from the dirt bike. Cold soda blasted from the hole and shot up Ed's back and into the air. The bird looped around and poked another hole in the second bottle. The spraying soda and numerous hits to the head were too much for Ed. He tried to slow down, but while braking, the front wheel wobbled. The whole machine went sideways and slid along the side of the road. Ed rolled off and slammed into a mound of old dirt. He scrambled up, screaming and swearing. Then, looking like a man who had truly lost his mind, he waved his arms above his head and ran screaming away from his soda-squirting bike and into the trees. With the satisfying feeling of accomplishment that comes from a job well done, Clark dusted his talons in flight and headed home. He'd never been a fan of theft or vandalism and felt pleased that he had righted a few wrongs with one bird. Chapter 41. A Secret Rooted Out. Ozzie parked the car in the trees near the tracks and hopped out. He started jogging, and after a few steps switched to an all-out sprint. Part of him was relieved that it had been Ed who had invaded the cloaked house. Ed was less powerful than the police, or the men in green, or almost anyone. Another part of Ozzie was livid. It hurt his heart to know that someone like Ed had the ability to affect his life in such a painful way. Those tapes were irreplaceable, and now they were gone forever. Once he reached his home, Ozzie ran through the front door.
"Rin! I know!"
The inside of the house looked amazing. The boxes were stacked in neat piles of different heights. It made the room look like a small mountain range. The couch had been moved to the middle of the room, and 2 folding chairs from the basement were sitting next to it.
"I'm in here!"
Rin yelled from the office. The boxes in the office were stacked in a way that surrounded the desk and chair that Rin was sitting in.
How'd you do all this? Ozzy said, blown away by what he saw.
Sometimes when others aren't around, I cheat a bit.
You used spells?
Who's to say?
Well,